can see clearly now the rain is gone.
You're in tune to AM 1460 KDWA Radio in Hastings. Welcome to another edition of In Depth. Today, it's Hypnosis Today with Cindy Lasher. How are you today, Cindy?
I am wonderful. Happy holidays, Dan.
Yes, thank you, and you and your family also.
Thank you.
That's right. The next time I talk to you, it'll be a new year.
It will.
Doesn't that seem a long time away?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. I'm amazed that it is December.
I know it. Time flies. Does that mean we're having fun?
It must.
I hope so. Well, it sounds like you have an exciting show today.
We have a very exciting show. We have two wonderful guests today. Our first guest is Dr. Pratap Singhal. He is a practicing physician in New Jersey, and he's written a book called Live Healthier, Live Happier. We're going to talk all about that. And our second guest, who will join us at the bottom of the hour, is Sharon Muir. She is a full-time certified hypnotist practicing in the Pennsylvania area, and she has created a new hypnotic process called the Virtual Gastric Balloon Technique for weight loss. So very excited to have both of these guests on today, and want to bring Dr. Singhal into the conversation. Hello, Dr. Singhal.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm so excited to have you on the show today to talk about your wonderful book, Live
Thank
Healthier.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome. Live happier, live healthier. You are a practicing physician in New Jersey. That's correct?
That is correct.
And a busy one. You've had more than 100,000 patients in your lifetime, and you practice both conventional and mind-body medicine. You're a homeopath, a hypnotist, and the author, of course, of the book Live Healthier, Live Happier.
That's correct.
You're a happiness coach. Tell us, how did you come to move into the field of coaching happiness? It's so diverse from being a physician.
Yes, Cindy. You know, I'm a physician, of course, and a happiness coach, because I have seen so many patients in my life, and I have treated all kind of patients, and I have dealt with all kind of problems helping patients. Some problems were so minor that you could laugh about it, and some were of so serious that they could be, you can label them as a catastrophic nature. Hence, I have developed my expertise and niche about it. Now I'm a happiness coach. You know, when you can put a smile on somebody's face, you feel good. You feel rewarded. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. And tell me then, in one or two sentences, what is the essence of the message that you have for our audience today?
I can give you in three sentences. Number one, happiness is the juice of life. Without happiness, life has no beauty, no charm. Without happiness, life can be compared to an electric wire that has been cut off from its main source. Or like a dried lemon, you cannot get the juice out of it. Number two, happiness is a choice. Pain may not be, disease may not be, but happiness is. Number three, the most important, happiness resides in the heart and soul of the individual. It has nothing to do with money, education, wealth, social status, or as a matter of fact, anything else. That is the essence of the message.
Those are important messages to be heard, and I hate the phrase, especially in this economy, because I've heard it so much in this economy. But in this economy, I think we have learned a lesson, and I hope that we're learning it well, and I hope that we're learning it to the depths of our society, because one of the reasons we are finding ourselves in this financial pickle is because so many people sought happiness outside of themselves. They sought happiness in a bigger home and in expensive cars and in things that they truly couldn't afford to have. And we've discovered that not only is that an unsustainable financial model, but it doesn't create happiness either. Would you agree, Dr. Singhal?
Absolutely. Cindy, you're 100% correct. we need to seek happiness within ourselves. I have seen rich people happy or sad. I have seen poor people happy and sad. I have seen educated people happy or sad. I have seen uneducated people happy or sad. So it is nothing to do with education, wealth, or the cars, or a bigger home. It had to do with the state of mind. You are absolutely right.
So are there any clear, distinctive features that determine whether a person will be happy or unhappy?
Yes, indeed. There are two points which I have noticed in my whole life. Number one is the focus. See, happy people focus what can make them happy, and they will work on that aspect. And second thing, once they realize what can make them unhappy, they will try to avoid that. Whereas the unhappy people, they are constantly thinking what is making them unhappy and without finding any solution. That's number one, the focus. The second is the mental attitude. Happy people look everything in a positive manner, and unhappy people look everything in a negative manner. Happy people focus at the problem and attempt to solve it, whereas unhappy people get stuck with the problem, and actually they become a problem in themselves, and they suffer. These are the two clear points to me, which I have observed from experience.
It reminds me of a story that I tell, just an example of focus and of mental attitude. Everybody remembers Hurricane Katrina and the devastation in Louisiana and New Orleans, and so much news coverage of that. And as we watched the news coverage of that, you saw people divided into really two very polarized types of attitudes. People who took on the role of victim and were very, you know, despondent and helpless. And people who, in the very same circumstances, you know, their homes are gone, you know, there's devastation around them. They're in the exact same circumstances, but there were a few people who chose to focus on a solution for themselves and for the people around them, and who became heroes in that same environment. So you're correct. In what you're saying is that it doesn't have anything to do with the circumstances around you. And I guess we come back to the concept that happiness isn't something that you reach out and find outside of yourself. It's what you find inside of yourself. So how does one cultivate an attitude that allows them to be happy?
Very, very good question. I love that question. You know, we can learn a lot from the life of happy people. That is the next segment we're going to talk now. Okay, if you go, let's go over what we can learn from happy people.
Great.
Can you go over that? And maybe you will learn a lot from this issue, okay?
Absolutely. Let's talk about that. What can we learn from the lives of happy people?
See, to me, happy people are is one of the best thing out there. There's nothing better than them. If you find a happy person, I will get a super glue and get attached to them.
Uh-huh.
They emit so much juice of happiness. They emit so much energy, like a rose emits its aroma. Life can become heaven in their company. Now we can go over some of the statement. Are you ready for that?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's see. Number one, these happy people are very appreciative of everything what they have, everything they have. If you do something, they are very appreciative. Whereas you can compare with unhappy people, they cannot appreciate what they have.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly complaining what they don't have, and that's what they suffer. So we need to become appreciative what we have and enjoy what we have. That we have plenty of and abundance of this stuff. The second thing which I have noticed, that the awareness level. More aware a person is, more happy he or she will be. And conversely, less aware a person is, less happy he or she will be. This is as simple as that.
Okay.
Number three, I have seen this ability to make decision, which is very prominent in the happy people. If they face a problem, they make a decision. Sometimes it may not be the best decision, but they do not fret about it. They do not repent about it. They try to fix it. Whereas what I have seen in unhappy people, they are, number one, they are poor decision makers. And if their decision is wrong somehow, they are done. They think life is over. This is the end of life. And from there on, they continue to suffer. Two more things I have noticed, Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
The time. Happy people live in the present time.
Mm-hmm.
They live in the present. They enjoy every minute. They enjoy every second. They enjoy each and everything they have. Whereas unhappy people, either they live in the past or they live in the future. What I mean by that, they are constantly brooding what has gone wrong in the past, constantly thinking about that and spending all their lives, most of the time, on the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, they constantly worried what can go wrong in future. They are never staying in the present, never focusing on the present, never enjoying the present.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, what I have seen, the mental attitude. Probably this is the single most important thing. You know, they have a positive outlook at life. Life is full of experiences, positive and negative. We can learn from both. Positive experience they are rewarding, and negative experiences makes us smarter and better. So that attitude they have, the happy people, whereas unhappy people suffer constantly. Now, I want to give you some statements these happy people have made, which have stunned me, from which I have learned a lot. Are you ready for that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Number one, the most common statement which I hear, you can be as happy as you want to be. Mm-hmm. What a power in this world. What a statement. Whoa. I feel the person is in charge of his life. You know? Cindy, absolutely. Don't you agree this is a powerful statement?
Yeah, absolutely. It gives them control over how happy they are. Again, it's not about what's outside of you.
That's right, exactly. Second, which I hear, it is easier to be happy than sad. See how relaxed this person is, how natural he is acting and talking. You can't be that. It makes you also relax, right or wrong?
Yes, absolutely.
Next thing which I have noticed, they say, this is the only way I know of. My God. It is, when they say that, their voice and tone is very empowering, very relaxing. And other statement they make, it is all in the gene. My God, look at this. How much confidence they have in themselves. Say, my father was happy, my mother was happy, my grandparents were happy, my brothers are happy. So it is very natural that I am happy. Now, the next thing is, which I notice, people are very appreciative. They say, do you know how lucky we are? If you watch TV, you know how many people are dying of starvation? People don't have clothes. People don't have medicine. But look, they're complaining of so little things which you can laugh about it.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy, when you hear those statements, it makes you forget your own trouble, right or wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I'll tell you another story. I have two very interesting stories in this reference. I met two happy people. One is my relative, and one time he asked her, are you happy? She was going through some surgery in the abdomen. You know, I said, are you happy? She said, sure, I'm very happy. I'm so happy. If God comes and asks me today, do you need anything? I will say, no, thank you. I have everything what I need. She was so content.
Mm-hmm.
The second person I met over the weekend, he says, I'm so happy that you cannot make me unhappy. What an amazing statement. He said, I was born happy. I'm always happy. Nothing can make me unhappy. If you want to make me unhappy, you really have to kill me.
Oh, no.
Just look at the words, you know, look at the power in the words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, also, Abraham Lincoln used to say that you can be as happy as you decided your mind to be.
Yes.
His Holiness the Dalai Lama said that today you have everything in the world to be happy. You don't need a better career, better spouse, better, more money, more education. You have everything, whatever you need to be happy. Okay?
Absolutely.
So we can learn also from unhappy people. See, to me, unhappy people are also a lesson to us. We can learn them from indirectly, not directly.
Okay.
It teaches us what not to do. Happy people teaches us what to do. Now, look at the awareness. When you watch these people, unhappy people, your awareness level goes up. When your awareness level goes up, you become more happier because happiness has a direct relationship with the awareness.
So how do we raise our awareness?
Right. More the awareness, more happier you will be. You know, a good student can learn from positive experience as well as negative experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, so how do
these
we,
are the state...
How yes? do we develop that awareness then? I mean, what are there specific things that we should do during the course of our day to cultivate awareness in ourselves so that we can be happier if there's that direct correlation? How do we do that?
Yes. Yes. What we need to do is constantly thinking when something goes good or something goes bad. When something goes good, we need to focus, what did I do good, so good, that I am getting the reward. When I do something negative, I should think, what went wrong, how could I have done better? We should never ever think how the other person could have done better. Mm-hmm. I would have done better if this person would have behaved this and this way instead of my way.
Okay.
Because you cannot change people.
So you're talking about taking personal responsibility.
Absolutely. That is awareness. More responsibility you take for everything, your awareness level goes up.
When
you're watching the unhappy people, you learn a lot from them that what they are doing wrong. It is, to me, it is they laying the path for us in an indirect way that don't do it, please.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, let us see the qualities, the features which I have noticed in the unhappy people.
Okay.
They're complainers. They're big-time complainers.
Mm-hmm.
To me, they are as if they have a built-in anger in them. They complain about the spouse, the children, their job, the weather, the car, the house, even the parents, even the God. They blame everything on the parents or the God or the situation, never realizing that it's not helping them. Second thing which I noticed, they are in the habit of blaming others. If something goes wrong, they blame to the
Someone
other
else.
Person, whosoever is next to them.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose the job, the boss was not good. If they fail an exam was too difficult.
Uh-huh.
Teacher was not good. Never taking the responsibility what they do. Third, I noticed, they say, again, they're complaining about the parents. This is all in the gene. My parents were unhappy, my grandparents were unhappy, and my brothers are unhappy, my sisters are unhappy. What do you expect from me? Like they're putting all the responsibility on their family or the genes. That means they don't want to do anything about it because you cannot change them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I have noticed these people love to argue. They'll get into fight very easily. They make enemies. In my opinion, argument is very destructive in nature. It is impossible to convince or change anyone unless they want to be changed. People are here not there to be changed. They have their own opinion. People change only when the time will come. So when you argue with somebody, you are only affecting your own, you're doing for your own ego, and it is only destructive as far as I see it. Unhappy people also have an ego problem. They are never on this earth. Either they are in the air or they are under the ground.
Mm.
It is very hard for me to bring on the ground and keep them on the ground. They are in the air, they are like a manic. And when they are under the ground, they are like a depressive.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an unbalanced life.
Mm-hmm.
What I also notice, they fly off the handle in no second. see, they are all always in a defensive mode. You know, they when you say something, I say, one patient, I said, why don't you lose 10 pounds? She gets on my nerves. She said, look, you talking of me 10 pounds, you should look, tell my mother, she need to lose 50 pounds. My brother need to lose 70 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like she was trying to defend herself. See, what I want to give the message that we need to be, in want to be happy. If you want to be happy, you can be happy. There should not be any problem. You have to set your mind to it, and you will do it.
Okay.
Happiness is the juice of life. You should get it, and it's right there. Without happiness, your life would be without, it's like a wire without electricity. Each and every one of us is a student of life. We need to be constantly learning from happy people and unhappy people. I'm sure you agree with that.
Absolutely.
And life is full of experiences, some positive, some negative. Positive experiences are rewarding to us. Negative experiences makes us smarter and better. You know, Nietzsche has said very cleverly, what does not kill us makes us stronger. Cindy, before I go, I want to make one announcement.
Please.
And that is, people, your audience can go to my website and download one free chapter.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is How to Reverse Aging.
Oh, wonderful.
And my website is, you can announce it again, Live Healthier, Live Happier. .com.
Yes, Live Healthier, Live Happier.com, which is also the name of the title of the book.
That is correct.
Wonderful, Dr. Singhal. It has been a delight to have you on. Is there
one more thing?
One final thing that you'd like to share, please.
Yes. My friends, enjoy your life. Bring juice of happiness in your life. You can do it. You can do it. Trust yourself, and I can help.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I hope you have a happy rest of the day, Dr. Singhal.
I'm sure you will do. I'm sure.
I'm sure that I will. Thank you.
Okay. Great show so far, Cindy.
Absolutely. Isn't he delightful?
Yes.
I could just sit and listen to him for the rest of the day. That would make me happy.
There you go.
All right. And then our next guest is Sharon Muir. She is a full-time certified hypnotist, master practitioner, and certified instructor of hypnosis and neurolinguistic programming. And she is in the greater Philadelphia area. Do we have her on the line?
We don't presently. Mm-hmm. There's phones ringing all over, so I think we may just be seconds away from that.
Seconds away. Well, I'll just continue with her introduction then. We have quite a bit. She's very accomplished. She is an adjunct faculty member for the National Guild of Hypnotists, and she is the vice president for her local Greater Philadelphia chapter of the National Guild of Hypnotists. She's the founder of Innovative Hypnosis, which is in the Greater Philadelphia area, and the director of professional development at the Hypnosis Institute of Pennsylvania. She teaches adult education classes on subjects relating to hypnosis. And she has written and produced 9 hypnosis audio programs, including Resistance-Free Weight Loss System and 12 Minutes to Dreamland. We're going to talk to her today about a new program that she has developed called the Virtual Gastric Balloon Technique for Weight Loss.
That should be interesting.
Yes, she's been a practicing hypnotist since 1994, so she has a lot of experience to bring to our show and to share with us, and I'm really excited to talk about the virtual gastric balloon, even though it's really hard to say, and I have to slow my tongue down to say it. I'm afraid of how that's going to come out if I speak at a normal rate of speech. And she has developed this. I don't know if you've heard about the virtual mind band that's been tearing up the airwaves over in the UK. That's where it comes out of. There was a hypnotist over there, and I don't have his name at the top of my head here. And he has also written a book on this technique, the virtual mind band. And what he does is he has a very elaborate technique where he reproduces all of the sounds and smells associated with having a gastric bypass operation. Or a laugh band or whatever, you know.
Right.
Flavor of that type of surgery it is. And he does this under with people in hypnosis. So he brings you in actually on a gurney, and he has the smell of ether, and he has the sounds. He actually has the equipment there that makes all the little beeps and clicks and noises that you would hear if you were in a surgical operating room. And he puts you under hypnosis, and basically carry out the procedure, except that it's completely non-invasive. They don't actually do anything. And the person comes out of hypnosis with their subconscious mind believing that they have just had a gastric bypass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you want, should we take just a couple second break here, and then we'll be back in maybe just a minute or two?
Absolutely.
Okay, hang on. You're listening to AM.
We need a virtual gastric new topic.
There you go.
Well, you know, I hope that everything's okay. I wasn't able to reach Sharon. We tried to call her from the studio, and all I can say is I am going to stay in my happy place, having talked to Dr. Singhal about happiness, and hope that everything's okay with her.
Boy, you know what he was saying was absolutely true. And I've said it my whole life. Usually people that are successful are people that have the syndrome, the glass is half full.
Right. Well, and I loved, who did we have on? Larry Garrett last 2 weeks ago, who said, you know what? The glass is a half glass of water.
Yeah, that's right.
I loved that because, you know, it is that really to me is about awareness, about seeing the world for what it really is, instead of coloring it one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought that was a very interesting take on that, and one that I hadn't heard before, so I liked that a lot. Dr. Singhal's book, Live Healthier, Live Happier, I'm holding it right now. It weighs about 3 pounds.
Oh, wow.
That's why I asked him before we got on the air how long it had taken him to put this book together, and he spent 5 years putting this book together. So just to let people know, again, his website where you can order this book, here, I'll drop it and you'll hear it. That's the book.
Wow.
It's a bargain. It's just chock full of information. The website is livehealthierlivehappier.com. And just to give you some ideas of what he covers in here, he talks about balancing your energy to increase your energy level, knowing yourself is part of happiness, and how happiness affects your overall health, how being happier, and we didn't have the time to get into that, but being happier actually improves a lot of your body systems. Your hormonal balance and your skin, and prevents disease and speeds healing. So not only do you feel better emotionally, mentally, and probably are a person that people like to be around more by being happier, you're actually giving yourself a powerful health boost as well. So he was a wonderful person to have on. Before we wrap up the show, because I think we've got, what, about 10 minutes left?
Yep. Yeah, about that.
We're coming into New Year's resolution time of year, and I know that a lot of people find themselves every year all fired up and eager to move ahead on their New Year's resolutions. They put a lot of thought into their goals, and they conceive a plan that would undoubtedly, you know, change their life forever. And they wait for January 1st to arrive, and a couple of weeks later, maybe a month later, they find that they're losing steam. I don't know if that's happened to you, Dan?
It happens just about every year.
Every
year. Yeah, what is it that we make these New Year's resolutions? But you were saying a month later, boy, you're giving us a lot of credit.
It's usually right around 3 weeks that people find, discover that they can't, you know, really do it themselves, and that's because of that 3 weeks to make or break a habit. If you can get through that 3 week homeostatic resistance period, then you have a much larger chance, a better percentage of achieving your goal. But that trips a lot of us up, and so I am putting together a new program that's going to be available by the 17th, and it is all about resolution rescue, and I want to get it out there in front of people before they start their New Year's resolution so that they can go through this information, and it's going to be in audiobook form.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yes, and it's going to include NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and hypnosis processes right in the audiobook, so that people can work through some processes, some hypnosis, some NLP, that will help them to break through the tripping points that they've had in the past. So just to give you an idea, I've determined that there are 14 challenges. And everyone may not have all 14 of those challenges that are tripping points for them. But I cover all 14 of these challenges and give you remedies to those challenges, so that if you go through this and you think about what you've done in the past and you said to yourself, yes, indeed, that's a challenge that I had in the past, well, I have the remedy for you, and you can put it in place and this year make a difference and get that traction and make those changes that you want to get. So just briefly to go through what the challenges are that I address in this audiobook. Challenge number one is having unclear objectives, because the subconscious mind really works on specifics. So unclear objectives is one of the challenges. And I have an exercise that I take you through to get really clear.
Is it good to write them down, too?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Writing, handwriting specifically, more so than typing on a keyboard. Handwriting is a direct connection to your subconscious mind because you've done it so much in your life. Now, perhaps the current generation, the new generation that's coming up, because they're so used to texting, that may be the tighter wiring in their brain between, you know, actually being on a keyboard. But for people our age, it's handwriting. challenge number two is having unrealistic expectations. Failing to realize that something is a lot easier to think about than it is to actually do. And so when you're setting that goal, to create a realistic expectation for yourself.
Okay, fair enough.
Number three, the challenge of the goal being too difficult. Choosing a goal that, in fact, is too difficult for you. And so we talk about the remedy for that, how to really size up that goal. Challenge number four is not doing the inner work that you need to do first, because all change truly begins within. And just as we were talking about just now with Dr. Singal, a lot of people think that the change, the answer is something outside of them. And in fact, the change begins within. Challenge number five, looking at sacrifice versus gain. And a lot of people don't realize that any time that you make a change, you're likely to be sacrificing something else in your life. So if you're going to get in shape...
Whoop. Hello? Hello? Cindy? Okay, hello? I think we just lost Cindy. Okay. You're in tune to AM 1460. Heck, Cindy.
All of a sudden, My phone died.
All of a sudden there was just static, and I'm like, hello?
Yeah. I had to sacrifice my phone line, apparently. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
It just died. So what we were talking about were the challenges that people face in achieving their New Year's resolution. And we were up to challenge number five, which is sacrifice versus gain. A lot of people don't realize that if you're going to make a change in your life, there is a sacrifice you're going to have to make, usually, in one area of your life in order to gain a new achievement in another. So if you're going to get in shape and you've gotten really addicted to sitting in front of the TV every night, you may have to sacrifice your TV shows.
Wow,
sacrifice
imagine
watching them at that particular time. Maybe you've got TiVo.
Yeah, imagine not having to watch TV.
Imagine. I never watch TV. So that may be a trivial kind of thing, and a lot of people can say, well, of course I'm going to give that up. However, I mean, it really does trip people up, and what it calls into attention, more importantly, is that your life is an ecology. There is no one area of your life that is completely standalone in a silo. Any change that you make somewhere else is going to impact other areas of your life, and it may impact your relationships. As you change yourself, if you have a goal to go back to school and get more education or to get in shape and really look and feel differently about yourself, you're changing the family dynamics. You're changing your relationship dynamics. And so you're sacrificing how those relationships were. And that's not to say that the new dynamic may not be better, but it is a change. And people aren't often aware that that's going to happen, and it trips them up. Challenge number six is a lack of belief in yourself, a lack of belief in your own abilities. And so the remedy for that, we work with a lot of hypnosis for that in the audiobook. Challenge number seven is a fear of failure. And challenge number eight is the paradoxic fear of success. And there are actually more people who fear success than fear failure. And what's sneaky about that is that you don't realize that you fear success. You think you're fearing the failure. So it can actually catch you up unawares.
How do you know if that's the case? I've heard of that many times, that you're afraid of success.
Yes. Fear of success. People with fear of success find themselves sabotaging their efforts.
Okay.
In different ways. And, you know, depending on what your goal is, you know, if your goal is to lose weight and you're afraid of how people are going to react to you when you're thin, you may find that you accidentally forget to pack your lunch, and then you're just forced, you know, to eat the nasty stuff in the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's amazing what your subconscious mind will do to you.
It will.
Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so anything else?
Absolutely. Challenge number nine is the obstacles. And a lot of people don't, when they visualize a goal, they don't visualize running into obstacles. They don't plan on obstacles. I used to be a project manager. And one of the things that you learn in project management is to anticipate the obstacles and plan in advance for how you will deal with them if they come up. Not that you can plan for absolutely everything, but it's a different mindset to say, listen, something probably will come up that's going to try and throw me off my game, and to be prepared for that. And if you're prepared for it in advance, you're much more likely to work around, through, you know, or above that obstacle and continue to keep going on your path. But if you didn't anticipate the obstacles, you are likely to get tripped up by them.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Unclear action steps is another one of our challenges. Not being really clear. We know what the goal is, but we really don't know what the minor goals, the smaller goals in between point A, where we begin, and point B, where we want to get. We know that we want to get to point B, and, you know, take again the example of weight loss. The concept of, you know, well, I'm going to eat less and exercise more is too vague. That creates an unclear action step.
So details.
Details, absolutely. As they say, the devil is in the details.
Yes, it is.
And the success is in the details.
Okay.
So we have remedies for that. conflicting priorities. Having conflicting priorities. So, for example, you would like to become a famous professional speaker, but another part of you doesn't like to travel and doesn't want to leave your family. How likely are you to achieve your goal of becoming a traveling speaker? And people have these types of conflicting, you know, different parts of their personality have different desires and different priorities. And so it's important to work with the inner person to have all of the priorities in alignment in order to reach a goal.
Okay.
Because this is another case where you will sabotage yourself if a part of your personality that doesn't want to travel, doesn't want to be away from home, finds that you're making progress toward that type of a goal.
Okay. So that's something that you can deal with and help the person get over that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Another challenge being lack of commitment. And lack of commitment is one of those things that happened. It can be reinforced because your subconscious mind gets used to the idea that every year you decide that you're going to, you know, take on a goal as a New Year's resolution, and your subconscious mind goes, uh-huh, I can wait this one out. And so that lack of commitment on all levels of your mind will create a stumbling block for you.
Those inner struggles.
Mm-hmm, those inner struggles, those oscillations.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then finally, losing motivation. A lot of people start very, very well, and they manage to get several weeks down the road, but they start to lose their motivation. And so I have a lot of information, different tips and techniques, and work in hypnosis and NLP to help people to keep their motivation strong so that you can keep that motivation refreshed and at its peak.
And that is a huge one.
It really is.
Because I think in society here, we become a people of instant gratification, and if you're setting a goal and it doesn't happen quick enough, you give up on it.
Absolutely. We are the fast food, instant gratification society. And I, you're psychic. I talk about exactly that in the audiobook.
Wow. Okay. All righty. Well, we have about a minute here before we need to move on to a mandatory network break. Anything else that you want to say today before I talk to you next year?
It just seems so weird.
Doesn't that? Oh, man.
Well, I just want to get my information out there. I think every once in a while I completely forget that I should tell people how to reach me. My website is mn-hypnosis.com. You got to have that dash in there, mn-hypnosis.com, or you can reach me at 763-218-3231. The audio book will be available toward the end of this month, and it does contain all kinds of good information, tips, techniques, and exercises that will help you keep on track for your New Year's resolutions for this year.
Okay.
Next year.
Sounds good, Cindy. I want to thank you. You have happy holidays to you and your family.
You too, Dan.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hypnosis Today on AM 1460 KDWA. Our host, or your host, Cindy Lasher. Coming up, we have news from CNN.